share a word that I feel like God just kind of spoke to me during worship, because in preparing this message, and I think Travis said it last week when he was speaking, but it really is, it's an exciting message. I love speaking on it. It is the most life-giving thing I've ever been a part of doing, but it does cost everything. It will cost you everything. And so in that sense, it's a little bit of a heavy message, and I felt like just to give us this encouragement. You know, we have a very real enemy, and he is waging war all around us. I feel like I'm seeing it and sensing it more in these days than ever before. It just seems like he is just all out attack. He doesn't have no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if he or she is a believer or unbeliever, walking with God or not walking with God. He is all out attacking people today. And there's days that can be overwhelming and discouraging. And so you may hear this and think, this is not for me because I can't even fight my own battles. I can't even overcome my own stuff that the enemy is throwing at me, or that I personally in my flesh can't overcome. But the picture I had was that, yes, this is true. It's the reality. We have an enemy that is out to steal, kill, and destroy. He is roaming all throughout the earth. He is everywhere. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He has no regard for human life whatsoever. But I feel like God is saying, this, I am giving you weapons and I am giving you tools with which to fight the enemy. I will overcome. He will overcome. He will absolutely win the battle. He will win he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That will happen. But I feel like he's saying, I'm giving you tools to hold in your hand with which to fight the enemy. And I feel like discipleship is a huge one of those. And that doesn't matter if you're the one discipling or if you're being discipled. On both sides of it, it is a tool he's placing on our hands. It's not enough anymore, it never has been, to come to church and hear a really great speaker, or to have really great worship, or to go to a really great conference, that is not gonna win the day. That is not gonna sustain us. It's not gonna see us through. It's the life on life, community, intentionality, and discipleship. That is where lives are gonna get changed. That's where I am gonna get changed. That's where you are gonna get changed. It doesn't matter if you've known God for a few hours or for years and years. It is this life on life discipleship that's gonna change us, and in turn, I believe, change the world. So I just wanna make a clean slate right now for everybody in this room. This message is for everyone. I don't care where you are or what your journey's been or what your walk has been like. God is saying, this weapon I'm handing to you in this room. There's purpose for you being here today, right now, to hear this message. So I just wanted to communicate that. So I want to ignite a passion in you for this. If what I said wasn't enough passion to get you going, well, I want to just continue that. I want to ignite a passion for you, in you for it, and I want to see you released and empowered in it. So you're equipped and you begin to know what it looks like between this week and next when Andy speaks. You begin to know, okay, this is what it looks like. This is what life on life discipleship looks like. This is what intentionality looks like. This is where the action is. This is like the nitty gritty, where people get free, where I get free, where you get free. This is where the action is. If you want to be a world changer, jump in and disciple. That's step one. It's where the stuff is happening. I said this, that no great sermon is going to change your life. It may be impactful. It may be encouraging. It may sustain you for a couple of days or a couple of weeks or a couple of months, but that's not going to change your life. And it's going to be a help along the way, nor is even a great community. That's just a community of people and we're all together. It's not until you get down to the intentionality and the life on life in that community that stuff's going to start to happen, and you're going to start to see change in your personal life and other people's lives, ultimately for the glory of God. And so I just want to define it here a minute. Let's just define, if you're just like, what is this word she keeps saying, discipleship? There's a lot of different definitions in different people's minds of what this even means. But it's the process of one person helping another person become a lifelong obedient follower of Jesus. So it's one person helping another person. It's not a pastor helping someone in the church. It's one person that God calls, which is everyone in this room, helping another person basically experience a growing relationship with God, experience a lifelong relationship with God where obedience is at the helm of the whole thing. And that's the big picture. In the day-to-day, it looks like being a mother, being a father, being a friend, being a servant, being an advocate, being a helper, being the one to come alongside, being the one to lay their life down to see someone else flourish and make it in God, whatever the cost, whatever it looks like. That is what discipleship really is at the heart of it. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. And then Hebrews 10, verse 23 through 25, we're going to read all of it. Kind of gets us some more scriptural basis for why we do this. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. I love that it says not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, because he knows our tendency. We may start out well or start out with good intentions, but how often does that fade off and the passion maybe fades off and the discipline maybe fades off? And so we pull back and we give up meeting together. He's saying, don't do it. Don't give up meeting together. But keep encouraging each other. Keep spurring one another on toward love and good deeds. And all the more as you see the day approaching. That's that word I was speaking about earlier, that as the day's approaching, I'm feeling the all the more. We are in the all the more. As the day is approaching, he is saying, increase your discipleship, increase your encouragement, increase your spurring of one another on, because the enemy is attacking. We want others to grasp their identity in Christ. I think if I had to boil everything down to one, discipleship down to one thing of what you're trying to communicate, you're wanting them to grasp their identity in Christ. Who am I in Jesus? That is the crux of everything of who we are. If we get that, if we know it, if we can walk in it and understand it, our identity in Christ, we will operate as much different people. If I know day to day who I am, what he's made me to be, what he's made me for, who my father is, I operate much differently than on a day when those things are unclear for me. Again, this is for everyone. So I may say that several times throughout my message, but I don't want anyone to tune out like, okay, yeah, that's for that person I know that's really spiritual and they really know God. And I'm just going to keep encouraging you. This is for you. This is for everyone. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, I think Travis may have read this last week, is called, we call it the Great Commission. And it's where Jesus was talking and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So the commandment is to go, and the commandment is to make disciples of all nations. That's what he's saying. He's not saying that some people will have this gift to go and make disciples. Some people may have this calling to go and make disciples. He's actually saying, I command all of you to go and make disciples. It's all of your calling. And so it's more of a skill. I think I would define it as a skill versus a gift or a calling. It's a skill that we work at. It's probably not gonna come naturally for you. When I first started discipling people, and I would feel the Holy Spirit, you know, encourage me to initiate with someone or ask someone more of a heart question versus just, hey, how you doing? How's your day been? How your classes? It was not a natural thing because it's not what people naturally do. We don't naturally go to the deep places with each other. Some people more than others, but most of us don't naturally just go there. And I can say even now, especially if it's someone I don't know as well, that God is prompting me to be intentional with and spend time with, or just have deeper conversation with, I still can feel that, like, oh, they're going to think that's weird that I'm asking them that, or they're going to be uncomfortable that I'm asking them that, even if it's just, hey, are you doing okay? Like, sometimes that it seems to cross a line, whereas, hey, we're all just fine, we're hanging out, we're good, don't ask me personal questions. Sometimes you get that vibe, even if people really desperately need it. And so it very possibly could feel unnatural to you, but to hold on to this word that it's a command and a calling from God, I think is significant. A man named Robert Coleman wrote a book called The Master Plan of Discipleship, and in it he says, discipling men and women is the priority around which our lives should be oriented. Discipling men and women is the priority around which our lives should be oriented. And so we're going to talk about this as I continue, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to, okay, I'm going to drop out of school, I'm going to quit my job, I'm just going to disciple. That's what I'm going to do. No, that's not at all. That's not at all what he's saying. He's saying it should be our mindset. It should be how we think about relationships, how we think about the people in our lives. Discipleship should run through your mind as you're spending time with someone, as you're getting to know someone. I can say personally, I'm going to share a lot of my personal passion and excitement and stories with discipleship. But I personally, because I've walked in it myself, I've been discipled and had the impact of it. And because I have been discipling for years, I would do less of anything else in my life to be able to disciple more. Anything else. Literally. I would do less, I don't know, any of my extra stuff I do, I would do less of it. You know, you think, well, gosh, she has three kids. Well, I'm discipling my three kids. So I would do less of everything else to disciple my three kids more. I would do less of everything else to disciple men and women more, because I have seen lives radically transformed from no understanding of God whatsoever all the way to they're now at the ends of the earth, leading church plants, running hard after God, the joy of their life, walking in their calling, walking in their destiny, and everything in between. Still their calling, still their destiny. Maybe not the ends of the earth, but still in their calling, still in their destiny. And so I know that it's the best use of my time. Absolutely. Because if I want to see the world change, I want to invest in people and watch them find their destiny. It's such a joy as one discipling. So that gives you some understanding. It gives us some framework of what is discipleship. What am I talking about when I say discipleship? I've given us a definition. But then there's a whole lot of questions that come out of that. And so I'm literally going to try to answer those questions that may be in your mind, or put them in your mind if they're not. So the first one being how. How do I do this? What do you mean discipleship? Tell me the hows of it. And I want to say intentionality is going to win the day. Absolutely. To be intentional with someone who is already in your life. Probably it's someone that you already know. They're already in your life. You already spend time with them. They might be a roommate. We're going to go into that in a minute. But you're changing your mindset. And this is what God did in me at the beginning of college. He changed my mindset for relationships. It wasn't just about me anymore. Friendship wasn't about me and people meeting my needs and getting what I needed out of a friendship. It also wasn't about having fun experiences together. That was a bonus. That was nice. That was fun. But here I am in college, like with this mindset, trying to work this through. And I feel like God said, it's not just about the fun. That's not the thing that's gonna change the world, or that's gonna be the most fulfilling to you. It's gonna be about the Hebrews 24 that says, spur one another on. That is what it's going to be about. That is what life is really going to be about. It's listening to people, hearing people, responding to people, speaking the words of Jesus to people, loving people. That is where the life comes from. And for each personality in this room, that's going to look radically different. The way you love someone, the way you speak the words of Jesus, the way you serve someone, that is the beauty of the body of Christ, is it doesn't look the same. It won't look the same as it does for me, as it does for you. It will look totally different. But God knows the people he's drawing you to, or he's just put in your sphere of influence. And you are the very person that could have the word or have the service or have the encouragement that could change, radically change their life, or words. So that's the key, is just intentionality. And it's just week by week, or conversation by conversation, or interaction by interaction, or whatever the, however you're with this person or these people that God has put in your life, and you're speaking truth, you're speaking the value of their value in God, the value of the kingdom. This could be someone that knows Jesus or doesn't know Jesus. That's kind of doesn't matter. You just go forward with who God is drawing you to. And so I'm gonna talk about a few things of what makes an effective discipler. Okay, I wanna do this. I maybe can. If it doesn't take much, then maybe I can do it. Let's see what it takes. And I feel like God spoke this to me when I was preparing. I feel like he said, I just need someone that's willing. They don't have to have a huge knowledge of the Bible. They don't have to have it all together. They don't have to be having their quiet time every single morning. They don't have to be have walked with God for years and years. They don't have to. I just need someone that is willing to pour their life and whatever I give them into somebody else. I need someone that's willing to lay their life down, to totally sacrifice. I need someone that is gonna seek someone else's needs and someone else's interest above their own, that they would just think about themselves less. If there's someone that's in that boat, sign them up, because they're ready to see the world change through discipleship. So that's number one, you're just willing. Number two, you're a friend. If we look at Jesus's life in Mark 3, verse 14 and 15, it's where he is appointing the 12, and it says that he might be with them and then he might send them. So he might be with them and then that he might send them. So the relationship precedes the sending. I think we get excited about the go. I want to go and make disciples. But he's saying, I want to know you. I want relationship with you. And then we'll have the sending. And I think the same is true with us as we walk with people and are friends with people. You just enjoy them. You get to know them. You're intentional with them. You spend time with them. The challenge and the encouragements and all that stuff is going to come faster than you even realize if you start out with that foundation in a strong way. And this is not the small talk kind of intentionality, I'm getting to know you. This is the, God, how can I serve? How can I bless? How can I check on them when I know that they're not doing well? What are you doing? How do I be a friend to that person? Number three, you're an encourager and a listener consistently. It is not most of our nature to consistently listen, nor is it most of our nature, unless that's really your gift, to consistently encourage. But those are the things that are gonna begin to make people feel comfortable. They're gonna make people feel known, and it's gonna open the door for Jesus. You're just kind of a catalyst for him to move through. I feel like there's times people that have been discipling me have spoken a word to me into my situation, into my life, that I had been asking for months. And then with one phone call or one sit down conversation, there's breakthrough with this word that God gave to them. Why that's how it works, I don't know, except that he wants us to be dependent on one another in community. So be in tune to that and listen for that as you're being intentional with people. Number four of effective discipler, you are full of faith and belief. And this could be someone that you think, oh my goodness, they are the farthest from ever wanting anything to do with God or anything to do with anything I would say about God or even to express my experience with God. But you don't, you put that aside and you go before God and you call out to God in prayer and you say, put a faith in me for this person. Put a hope in me for this person. Put a belief in me for this person. And that is something that has to be sustained throughout your relationship with that person, because they are going to disappoint you. They're going to fail you. They're going to fail God. They're going to make mistakes along the way. But if you've on the front end said, hey, I am with you, it doesn't matter what it looks like. I am for you. I am with you. I am full of faith and full of belief that God is going to see you through all the way to the end. You're one that in the love, 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about love and it says, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. You can see and believe because you love them and because God's given you the love for them where they can't even see. When they're in a pit and they're in a hard place and they can't even see what God's doing or what's happening, you can say, hey, guess what? let me give you perspective. You're going to make it. God is with you. God is for you. But if you get in the pit with them and you're like, actually, you've made really bad choices over and over again. I don't know what's going on with you. Well, forget discipleship. Like, they could have gotten that from anybody else, you know? But God's going to impart something to you. That's the weapon. He's imparting something to you that you might speak the words of Jesus. If he was here, that's what he would say to that person. He would say, I'm not giving up on you. He would say, this is not the end. If you'll actually meet me right here in this place, this will be the beginning of something totally new and something you've never experienced before. I feel like that all the time. God will start to do something in someone and then the enemy will pick them off. And I'm like, first of all, like, so mad. But then second of all, I'm like, no, you know what? This is going to be the thing that changes their life forever. This is going to be the milestone and the mark in their life that changes their life forever. Do you think that person can see that in the midst of their sin or their loss or their devastation? No, usually not. But somebody else that God has given the vision for to believe all things and hope all things, that person can see them through and call it out and say, grab my hand, I'm putting you on my back. Here's where we're going. If you'll stay with me, we're gonna get through it. And it's a powerful thing. And number five is risk, and that kind of ties into what I was just talking about. It gets hard. Because what happens is when you start to believe for someone and you start to love someone, you deeply care about that person. Which, P.S., this is discipleship happens best in a most healthy way, girl to girl, guy to guy. That it just needs to go be made clear right now. That doesn't mean that you can't have another guy speak a word into your life as a girl or vice versa. But your consistent discipler, the one that you're pouring your life into them and they're receiving from you, that has got to be, and to be healthy and to be godly and to be pure and holy, it's got to be girl to girl, guy to guy, just to clarify. It's going to be hard. You are pouring your life into someone. You are saying, I am with you to the end. It doesn't matter. And so when they grieve or when they fall or when they, whatever happens along the way, you're going to feel it. I mean, you're getting your needs met in God. You've got to take that immediately to God. It can't make you sink also. You've got to hold on to Jesus with all your heart as well. But you're going to hit bumps in the road that are going to feel hard. It might feel hard because they may be resistant. You may feel like, okay, we're moving, we're getting somewhere. And then all of a sudden you hit a wall and you're like, what do you mean? Why does it never work out for us to hang out? What's going on? I feel like you're being distant, whatever. And so you're going to have to initiate and pray and get on your face and call out to God for them. So you are taking on, this is the heavy, you are taking on something that's not going to be easy, but it absolutely will be life-changing for you and for that person in the process. So it's for sure a risk. There's a situation where, because somewhere along the way, often it becomes a really sweet, deep friendship. Which is such a fruit and a blessing out of discipleship. Even though you may feel like you're kind of in a role of authority over them along the way, you carry them in such a way and they trust in you in such a way and you've been vulnerable with them in such a way that really friendship, lifelong friendship begins to happen. We had a situation, I'm going to tell several stories. Most of them are stories from Boston, so don't get worried if I'm like going to tell your story. But we had a friend, we had good friends, their names are Seth and Emily, and Travis was meeting with Seth, and I was meeting with Emily, and they were serving in our college ministry, and we had poured our life into them. We were like, we loved them. They'd become really close friends. We were carrying them, believing for them, all these things. Well, at one point, they came to us, and they said, separately, they said, we're kind of just tired. You know, I think we've just kind of thought about it. I think we're going to actually move back to Georgia. I think we're going to just get a different job. And it's just too hard in Boston. It snows. It's hard to park. The rent's so expensive. It's a financial strain. And us hearing that, obviously it's hard because we put our lives into them and they're thinking about leaving. But then something rose up in both of us and we were like, okay, this is going to be a major risk in a friendship, because they feel good about this decision by this point. And they've come to us and we say, okay, we could just bless them, love them, and let them go. Or we could take the risk to say, hey, can we pray and hear God together? Is this, what do you feel like God's been speaking about this? That some really challenging questions that could be offensive if relationship had not been built in for months and months. As a result, not saying just because of Travis and I, but as a result, they stayed, they stuck it out, they heard God afresh, they felt called afresh. They're now college pastors in Boston. They're fully sold out for Jesus. But somewhere along the way, we had to take a risk, and others also, to say, there is a greater call in your life than you can maybe see from your perspective right now. So go after it, take the risk, even if it feels like it might be risking friendship, which we were willing to risk. We were willing to risk friendship for them to get their destiny in God. And the way you can know if this is successful, like if this relationship that you're having with someone, or that this intentional friendship that you're having with someone is successful, is, are you starting to see them look more like Jesus? Is there anything in their life where you can say, okay, you look more like Jesus today, not more like me, not more like your pastor or anything else? Do you look more like Jesus today than you did when we started meeting? Because that's your goal. You're pushing them and leading them to Jesus. And I want to say, I love that this command is so clear for us, this Great Commission command that says, go and make disciples. And I just was thinking, coming out of Role Mandate, many of you got words of a people group, a nation, a city, something, God spoke something to you. Some of those, you're having to work it through and sit on it. You're not leaving tomorrow. You're trying to figure out what's going to happen. But when you go and when you get there, it says go and make disciples. So when you land, what will you do? Say Japan. You land in Japan, what's going to happen? You're going to make disciples. That's the call of God on your life. You're going to make disciples. So in the meantime, if you have this call on your life to go to some nation, in the meantime, make disciples. If you haven't heard a call on your life yet, if you're still like, I don't even know what the call in my life is. I don't know if it's to live here or there, or what job to do, or what career path, or I don't have a clue what the call in my life is. Well, let's just go with the word that God has commanded us. Go and make disciples. Or as Travis talked about last week, as you're going, make disciples. As you're going to wherever you're going today, make disciples. That is the command that he is giving us. And you just start that by being intentional with people, asking God, would you put people in my path? Maybe it's somebody you already know. Maybe it's a really close friend. Maybe it's someone that has been sitting next to me in class for months and I had no idea. Would you begin to give me that? And you may think, gosh, I don't have like a gift of wisdom or discernment, or what am I going to give them? What do I have? You just start loving them. You just start serving them. You just start spending time with them and being intentional with them. And God will begin to tell you and speak to you what this person needs, or what the question is that they maybe need to hear, or that you should ask. It's crazy how God's given me, as I've started spending time with someone and just try to be obedient, okay? He speaks a person, I try to be intentional, I try to start spending time with them. And I'll find myself sitting in a meeting with them or talking to them and speaking out their strengths and encouraging them about who they are. And I'm like, I hardly know this person. Is this right? Like, is this going to be totally off? And sure enough, it's exactly the word of the Lord. But I felt like, I feel like I've known this person for like years. I've known you for like 2 months. How does this work? But it's because God will equip you and give you. He says, go and make disciples. The equipping will happen as you're going. Just stick your neck out there and go, and God will give you what you need. I think what happens when you do that is you can get down the road with someone in a few weeks what would in a casual friendship take like years and years, honestly. Like there's people here that are in Arizona today that I'm friends with that I think, have I really only been here like a year and a half? What is going on? How do I feel like I've known you for like almost my whole life? Well, it's because the Spirit of God comes in. You know it. You start to feel it when you live intentional friendship. You're like, really? We just met last week? But it's because It's because you're being intentional. And so you're going to go years down the road versus someone that you've just spent time with, gone to parties with, hung out with, just been this casual friendship. Some of you may feel that about your own family. You may feel like, I know this friend that I share, I've shared spiritual experiences with and spiritual stuff with, that I feel like I know them better than I know my own family. They raised me. How is that possible? So there's a challenge even there. Well, pray and believe for your own family. Pray and believe for the spiritual things for your own family. So that was the how. This is the why. Why do we do it? And it's because we've seen people come alive and find their destiny like never before. The why is because few people have someone in their life that's going to be this way. Really. Few people have someone in their life that's going to really care enough about you to serve your socks off, to ask you the hard questions, to be with you when you're not doing well. Few people will stick it out with others in that. And so we're saying, hey, we'll do it. We're in. We'll get our hands dirty. I don't care if it's messy. We're in. We're going to do it. Because let me say this. What happens is when you start to bring stuff to the table, so say you're just in friendship and you're trying to be intentional with someone else, and you start to ask, hey, how's your marriage? Hey, how's your roommate situation? How's the relationship with this girl or this guy? They just start sharing, and stuff starts coming to the table. You may not have this revelation from God of, oh no, this is happening or that's happening, or I need to share this word or that word. You might, but what happens is stuff just starts getting into the light. It may be because they're confessing sin, or it may just be because they're sharing their heart. Either way, stuff just starts getting to the light, and people realize their need. They realize their need for someone to love them. They realize their need for breakthrough. They realize as they talk it out loud in your presence, who is someone that's believing for them, that loves them, that cares about them, that is a carrier of the Holy Spirit. As they're sharing this stuff, there's sometimes just a revelation that happens on its own. You may not have to do much of anything except pray. It may just, as it's, because there's just something significant. When the enemy keeps stuff in the dark of, oh, your marriage is not doing well, or oh, this issue is not resolved, or oh, this happened. If he keeps it in the dark, it just grows and grows and it gets worse and worse. But when we pull it into the light, I mean, I had this picture of it like being thrown out on the table, all of a sudden clarity comes for that person, and breakthrough can begin to happen, and they can express, can I help? What can you help me? What can I do? Or what's the, and it may not come in that moment. A lot of times I'll like get a text or a phone call, even like way later. Hey, remember how I shared that with you? Can you help me? What would you say I could do about this situation or that? And it's just, again, God is just, he's using discipleship to fling doors wide open in people's lives. Because investing your time in discipling others is investing in eternity. Because I'm going to invest in one person, they're going to invest in someone else, and then the world is going to be reached. And so we're not just investing in the one that we see, or the two or the three that we can see. We have no idea the reaches of what God might do through us just being faithful and obedient and intentional with the people that he's given us. I want to share this story because it really is so overwhelming. Every time I read it, I'm like, is that? I have to like do the math again and make sure it's right. I was in a college service at Antioch in Waco when I was in college, and the pastor that was speaking, his name was Robert, and he said, there was a man, he was talking about discipleship, and he said, there was a man named Mark. And he said, Mark, when he was in college, wanted to change the world. So he's like, God, what field do I go into? What career? What's going to make the most impact? I want to make an impact and see the world change. I want to make a difference in this life. I want to whatever. And God spoke to his heart and he said, you invest in three people. And he was like, seriously? Come on. What else? You know, he said, no, invest in three people. And so he did. He invested in the guy that was speaking, Robert, and then two other men. And so Robert tells this story, and then he's speaking to this, I don't know, probably 600 people in this college service. And he says, okay, if I have discipled you and invested in you, or if one of these two other men that Mark had discipled has invested in you, then stand up. So there were a number of guys in the room that stood up that had been over the years discipled by these men. And then he said, okay, look around you. If you've been if you've been discipled by someone that's standing up in the audience, in the crowd, then you stand up. So then some more stood up. He did this three times. By the time he did it the third time, a large majority of the men in the room were standing up. And then he said this. He said, when this is multiplied out 20 times, when three invest in three, and those three invest in three, and those three invest in three, the number that equals, 3 to the 20th power, is 3,486,784,401. 3.5 billion. That doesn't seem that out of reach to me. 20 times? I mean, that doesn't seem that impossible that, hey, I can invest in three people. I can envision those three to invest in three. And if I communicate the vision well all the way through, we're going to see the world change. So don't think that your one investment in one person is not going to be significant, because you have no idea who that person might reach and who that person might touch with the same love of Jesus that you've been giving them. The question is, we've said the why, but then there's some why nots in there for us. There's fear. There's, this is really not my thing. I don't know how to do it. This is risky and it's hard and it's over my head and I'm not ready. And there's probably 1,000 things you're thinking of. But let me say this, resist the feeling of intimidation, because that's what the enemy wants you to feel. He wants you to feel like this is for a pastor. This is for a minister. This is someone that's known God for years. This is not for me. I'm in a hard place. I'm in the midst of a struggle. I'm in the midst of sin. I'm in the midst of whatever. I really don't have anything to offer anyone. Well, resist that feeling of intimidation and get on your face and call out to God and ask him to give you someone to transfer whatever you do have along the way. It is laying your life down. It is hard, but there really is, and I've said it, I'm going to say it over and over again, but there really is nothing sweeter than seeing someone else make it in God, because you're not just seeing them, oh, yay, they had a better day today. No. It's, oh, they found their purpose and their calling in life. They just found the very best thing they could possibly find. They just said no to whatever the world has to offer because they found something better. So tell me it's hard, but tell me you're going to be okay with the hard because of what you get out of the good, what the good is that comes out of it. And again, the hard, it can feel like you're fighting upstream at times. It can feel like I'm not getting anywhere. This person isn't hungry. They don't want it. And you've got to hear God along the way, you know, of where to back off and where to press in. But he's going to speak. And there's times when you may be hurt by someone, by their choices or by their response to you or by whatever. So it's another place for you to get on your face and you say, God, for me, my heart can get hardened. Like, okay, well, forget that. There'll be somebody else or throw in the towel, whatever. But before you do that, stop and ask God to soften your heart. There's been times in the middle of a meeting that I'm meeting with someone and I'm like, okay, God, I'm frustrated. I'm whatever. I need you right now to soften my heart. And usually by the end of the meeting, I'm like crying because I'm so envisioned for their life. I mean, God will give it to you. He wants his people to make it. Excuse me. He does not want his people to perish. And so he's going to give whatever, use whatever. For that to happen. So pray God will soften your heart. Pray that he'll lead you into conversations and relationships where you have the opportunity to encourage them. Just start to pray, like, give me someone that has my same interest, that I click with, that I can connect with. Give me someone that it comes natural for me to encourage. That's an okay prayer to pray. It just is a start. You're just starting down the road and you go with what God gives you. But I want to say these two things before we move on to the who part of it. And that is this. Let's firm up now who we are in God. That identity in Christ thing is not just for those you're discipling. It's for you. Let's firm it up now. And then you can move in the what I'm called and what I'm commanded to do. He believes in you. He will equip you. Let's firm that all up so that you don't have the insecurity. You don't have the, oh, I'm intimidated because that person seems a lot more spiritually strong than me, or they've walked with God for longer, or they've been in church longer, or whatever. I can't ever encourage them or give them a word or be intentional with them because I feel like they probably are years beyond me. So one, let's firm up who we are in God, and two, let's pass it on. An individual's understanding of who they are will dictate how they behave. An individual's understanding of who they are, and by that I mean who they are in God, will dictate how they behave. You're going to change how you behave if you know who you are. Absolutely. There's been times I've called out an encouragement in someone. I may have seen someone do something one time. I don't know. We'll give the example of serving. Maybe I've seen someone serve, reach out to serve once. I don't really know if they're a servant. I have not seen it proved over time and time again. But that one time I saw them serve, and God prompts my heart, and I say, you know what? You are a servant. And then all of a sudden, I see this person like serving all over the place. I'm like, were they doing that before? Are they just doing that? Because it doesn't matter. God calls you up and calls you out of where you are and uses people around you to do it. It changes how we behave. It changes how we see ourselves. It changes what our identity is. Okay, the who. I don't know how. I need to fly. The who is anybody in your life. That could be roommates. That could be your parents, that could be coworkers, that could be moms from your kid's school, that could be neighbors, that could be friends in this room, friends from church, it could be your own kids. And I mentioned that earlier, but that is a huge part of my life, a huge part of, if I get discouraged or not envisioned for what my like changing diapers and all the stuff that I, grocery shopping and laundry and whatever, I think, no, they are world changers. They are going to be world changers. I'm going to put stuff in them of what their identity is, of who they are in Christ. I'm going to put stuff in them right now so they don't have to deal with the junk that I've had to deal with in my life. There'll be stuff that comes up that they have to deal with, but as little, I want to impart to them what somehow I missed somewhere along the way because I wasn't fully given over to God. And so that absolutely is huge as a parent. And just to give a plug again for the parenting equipping day, that's what we're talking about. Yes, it's the nitty-gritty of discipline and training and whatever, but in reality, it's how do I disciple my child? How do I disciple my kids so that they can be world changers one day? What do I need to do in my life so that this can happen in my kids? It doesn't just happen. It takes a ton of intentionality. It takes your life. So 9 o'clock, our house, be there. How old you are, how long you've known God, all those things throw it out the window. That doesn't have anything to do with who you can disciple or who you can be intentional with. Just start being intentional with whoever is if God puts in your life. It could be someone that you've talked to once or 50 times. Just start being intentional, asking the heart questions and the hard questions that no one else is asking. Again, it's the as you are going. Everywhere we go, we have a ministry of reconciliation and a ministry of discipleship. He has something for you to share with somebody else. Something. There is something he's imparted to you that's valuable enough. And that's not some of you. That's all of you. There's something he's given you that's important enough for you to share with somebody else that he's put in your life. I'm going to give Okay, just a couple examples. I feel like there's power in the personal testimony, and so I'm going to share a few, this whole as you're going and the who, because we've got to figure out how is this going to work for my life. So as I'm going, someone that God has highlighted in my life is my niece. She just turned 13. She's learning how to walk with God. So as I'm going, I'm intentional with her. When I see her, we've sat down and we've said, hey, here's how you have a quiet time. Are you doing it? Here's how you wait on the Lord. Here's how you hear God. Here's worship music that's powerful. Here's this, here's that. And so she's doing it. And so again, it's that doors are being unlocked for her all over the place. The stuff that 13-year-olds deal with, she's experiencing, but she has Jesus at her back at every turn. Her parents are in the, but it's not like I'm the only one being intentional with her. She's got people around her, a church community and parents that are fully in it. But she's like, no, are you kidding me? I have people telling me I'm going to make it and I'm going to flourish in God. One time I was on the phone with her and she'd had a hard day and I had called her to talk to her about it. And I wasn't giving her this scripture and that. And I had this picture from her from the Lord. And Travis walked in and I got off the phone. He was like, who was that? And I was like, oh, it was Caroline. He was like, it was? I thought that was like a college student or someone you were discipling. Like, but she's 13. Well, we're going to go for it no matter what the age, no matter if you're 13 or 90, you're in a place to, whether they're 13 or 90, you're in a place to be able to speak to them. I love, there's a story of a, and I'm not great at this, I want to be better at it, but there was a grocery store checker in Boston that I would see multiple times. I started talking to her. I learned her name. How can I pray for you? Do you want to come to church? So I started going to her aisle or like going to her line purposefully so I could like just talk to her, invite her or whatever. This whole as I'm going. I don't even know where she lives. I don't know anything about her life. I'm just trying to invest in her. Well, one Sunday she shows up at church. Little did I know that another person at church had also been doing the same thing, inviting her to the same church. She's like, I mean, I can't avoid this. I got to go. Everyone's whatever. And so Boston's a big place. That's not a coincidence. That's very strange. God was after her. And so she got involved in our church. She got discipled. She got in a life group. She had a daughter that was 8. She had a major tragedy happen a couple years in of being really involved in community. Her daughter died. She was a single mom and her daughter died. It was incredibly tragic. One of the hardest things I've ever walked through, but she had this community that she had been intentional with that immediately surrounded her, that did the little girl's funeral, that walked, the lady's name was Kim, is Kim. She moved in with a family from the church for like a month to just heal and restore that is discipleship. That is life on life. I had no idea when I met this woman in the grocery store what she was going to go through, but I'm so thankful we had intersected her life and were able to be there with her and for her. There will be fruit. John 15:16-17 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. This is my command. So go on that. Go on. I didn't choose him. He chose me and he's appointed me. That's to all of us. He's appointed you to go and bear fruit. And whatever you ask for in his name, if you're like, God, who do I disciple? What do I do? How can I be intentional? How can I be a world changer? What does this look like? Can you give me a word? Just ask him, whatever you ask for in my name, I will give you. And this is my command, love each other. I'm going to tell you, this will change your life. God's commands are not just for his people to hear about him. His commands are also for our good and for us to be changed, which is so so sweet and so encouraging. What it will develop in you, selfishness will begin to fall off of you. It will. When you live your life for somebody else, there is no room for selfishness. When you're always thinking, what do they need? How can I help them? What's going on with them? What's the need here? You may have your own stuff you're dealing with, but it's probably going to be minimalized because you're just trying to seek out helping other people along the way. The life of God in you will increase as you pour out because something's going to awaken in you. The more you share, hey, you're going to make it. Hey, time with Jesus is worth it. You're going to be like, oh, yeah, time with Jesus is worth it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to make it. It's all going to come back to you. The more, they say the things that you teach, you know like 90% more than anything else. And so as you teach and love and speak truth over someone, you're going to get it. You're going to get it in return because this is not all about them. It's also about you and what God wants to do. The Great Commission is for our good as well as for those around us. So the what, and I will go through this very quickly because Andy's doing this next week some, but there's two things in the what of how this all plays out. There's a transferring and there's a modeling. And so you're wanting to transfer attitudes, skills, motivations, desires, hopefully reproducing the life of Jesus. That's what you're wanting to transfer to somebody else. If you're like, what am I even trying to do here? You're wanting to transfer the attitude of Christ to someone else. Transfer the motivation of Christ to someone else. And then I'm going to narrow it down to four quick things of what of how that can maybe be broken down. And number one being the most important, you want to connect them with Jesus through the word, worship, and prayer. You're going to have weaknesses. You're not going to be able to always be there for them. You're going to maybe sometimes have the wrong word, the wrong response, the wrong attitude. I've done it 1,000 times where someone's like, that was wrong, or that was hurtful, or that was, well, praise God that Jesus is what we've been leading you to and not me, because I am absolutely going to fail. So connect them with Jesus. Teach them how to have a quiet time. That's huge. Number two, teach and encourage them to respect and honor others. That's just kind of a basic, I'm not going to go on that. But and then three, media. If we can cut media down, back, out, limited from our life, you're going to save yourself and whoever you're being intentional with a ton of grief. But that's a huge onus on you to evaluate, what am I watching? What am I seeing? What am I doing? How am I responding? What is my place in this whole media piece? And then number four of just main things you want to transfer is just a worldview beyond just what we see in America. We are not the end. There is a whole world out there that is desperate for Jesus. So, yeah, that's a whole other thing. You want to create an environment for people to change. And if you can pull things out like media and pull things in like connecting with God, the presence of God, you're going to create an environment for them to be able to change. Then the modeling, and this is hands down the most significant part of discipleship that I've seen change lives. It's not just what you say. That is not going to change their life. If they see it as you're going, if they see it in your life, if they're in the car with you and they hear what you have on the radio, if they hear how you talk to your spouse, if they hear how you respond to your children, if they hear how you are with your roommate or how you are with other people, that is what's going to begin to change them. The modeling, you can say, you know what? I'm struggling with having time with God too. Let's meet at 7 a.m. at Starbucks. Let's do it together. I'll have it. I'll have my Bible, journal, worship music, whatever. You have yours. We'll figure this out together. Let's model it. Let's do it together. Again, what they're going to see, what are you watching? What are you listening to? What's your, what are your priorities along the way? There was a girl that we discipled, or that I discipled, named Amy, and she basically just lived life with us. I discipled her. I had a meeting with her weekly, but she was in our home all the time. She saw our life all the time, and she since told me that is what changed my life. That is a thing that changed my life. It wasn't necessarily all the words or all the counsel or all the teaching. It was you just living your life in front of me that began to change my life. I'm gonna let me finish with this. So where does this start for you? It starts with you just pray. God, would you give me an opportunity? Would you open a door? Would you show me who to just ask an intentional question to? Maybe not even like, hey, I want to disciple you. Maybe just, hey, how are you doing? You just start to pray. Number two is initiate. Can we go to coffee? Can we hang out? Can I, spend some time with you? Number three, be a need meter. Can I take you to the airport? Do you need a ride to the grocery store? Do you want me to help you with that? Whatever, you know, whatever it is, can I drop off a meal for you? You're sick. Anything. Be a need meter. Number four, just start speaking encouragement. God will give it to you. Anything positive that you see in their life, speak it out. Tell it to them. Let them know. And then five, just start building a relationship, building a friendship, building a healthy friendship with them, where you also are open and vulnerable. Oh my goodness, I have so much more, but we're going to move on and close. I feel like what God is saying is now is your time. No longer is it okay to just passively watch the world go by. now is the time for you to step up and you to say, no, I have a role and I don't want to miss it. It's a command on my life and I do not want to pull back. I want to be aggressive and I want to play a part in this of seeing the kingdom of God advance here. He says, John 20:21, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So he's sending you. He's sending you out. He wants you to go, and he's going to go with you. You have a lot going for you in discipleship relationships or in intentional relationships because it's been commanded to you. He wants you to do it, and he's going to give you stuff out of it. The biggest thing is you just got to start going for it. You just got to start doing it. There's a relationship. I want to read this letter really quickly to close. This was one of those times where I thought, this is so messy. Like, we just moved here. I met her soon after we moved here. Life was crazy. 3 kids. She would come to my house. I mean, sometimes they'd be sleeping, but usually they would just be all over the place. And I'm just trying to, like, hear, just listen to her, you know. She was a pretty new believer when I met her and was a senior in college and had kind of lived a pretty wild college life. And so there was a lot. It wasn't like this was like, yeah, I just want some encouragement. I've known God all my life. No. This was like, there was a lot going on every week. I mean, it was so messy. She since has moved. And I got this letter this week. So I just felt like God was saying to read it. And I want to say again, I was broken. I was like, God, would you help me? What can there be something out of this that would be fruitful? And she wrote this to me. The main reason I'm writing to you is to say thank you. Thank you for investing in me. Even when it seemed like we were getting nowhere, even when we were going around in circles and it looked like I would never break out of my self-destructive cycles. So many, if not all, of those conversations and those lessons have been foundational in my walk with Jesus. I also want to thank you for the countless prayers I'm sure you must have prayed on my behalf that I never even knew about. I honestly believe you guys wouldn't even recognize me now. And I know that has absolutely nothing to do with me and everything to do with God's amazing faithfulness. I keep coming back again and again to what I learned from you, even in the instances when you weren't directly teaching me. Thank you for opening up your life and pouring it out onto me. You've shown me a true and brilliant example of a woman, wife, mother, pastor, mentor, and friend sold out for the kingdom of God. You've shown me how to love others well, set boundaries, be honest with your time, give as much as you can, and then give a little more in his strength. Thank you for sticking it out with me week in and week out. I imagine sometimes it must have been pretty discouraging, and I'm so thankful you didn't give up. You have done more in my life than you will ever know, and I will always be so grateful that God not only brought you to Arizona, but connected us and chose me to be discipled by you. And so that can be every one of our stories. I mean, I wish you could be in the room when some of those times were happening. I mean, I opened up my door and I said, you can come over anytime. It doesn't have to be a set meeting time. Just come over and hang out with us. I'd love it. And she did. And she saw just the real life of us just trying to seek God with all our heart, obey God, and make it through. So, Lord, won't you do that in us, God? Won't you show us even right now, God, what does it look like for me? For some of you, he's saying that love I poured out on you when you accepted me into your heart, just share that with somebody else. For some of you, he's saying, get out of the boat. It is beyond time. No more questions, no more how, but when and who and with, what does it look like? And just get out of the boat and start living intentionally with people. God wants to establish a culture among us where needs are met, where people are ministered to, where someone walks in the door and they know someone's going to ask me how I'm doing and I'm going to get prayed for. That's the kind of culture he's wanting to establish in this room. Not just, how was the weather? How was your day? What do you have going on tomorrow? No, the kind of culture where we say, I really need prayer. Can you help me? That with the kind of culture where they're loved just because they walk in the door and we want to extend a hand to them. So God, won't you do that in each one of us? Show each one of us how we can be disciplers, how we can be intentional. God, would you do it in each one of us? It's not for only a few. It's for all of us, God. And it's for our good, Lord. So God, we just ask that you'd stir it up in our hearts right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. So why don't we stand right now, and we're gonna finish with worship. But if you particularly are feeling like, okay, the time is now for me. I'm not gonna waste any more time in myself, in my own world, dealing with my own junk. I'm gonna step out of the boat and I'm gonna respond to God, and I'm gonna see what do you have for me. So if that's you, come forward and respond. We wanna pray for you, believe that you can have the courage to do it, in Jesus' name.